There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Gilcast. You are either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling from a hotel room in Florida. That is why we're recording on a Monday morning and not the normal Sunday night on a little, it is a vacation, but I'm here for a wedding. You turn 30, you turn 31, and your entire life becomes a sequence of going to people's weddings. With setting, literally guys, setting my fucking lineups on the beach yesterday, 7 hours of commercial-free football. Everyone else is having fun. They're in the water, and I got red zone on my chair, just on my phone right there. I'm just sitting there.
Yeah, touching grass, Davis. Love to see it.
Not really touching grass though. Like one foot on grass, 1 foot, you know, still in my mother's basement. So this is the least favorite combination that people have, the one where Nate and I win and Sammy loses. Because
incidentally, Davis, this is actually my least favorite combination as well. So that's we're simpatico here.
Sammy is really the people's champ. I mean, they love, because Sammy, I think Sammy, you're really the representative of the people. You're like, these optimizers are stupid. I don't care
Are you Sammy, calling me the Sammy simpleton?
Yes, you are a man of the people. You reflect what the people feel. And yeah, you just look at these optimal lineups and you're just like, why would I play that when I can do this instead? And you just go off the board week after week.
Yeah. And you know, it's actually been a while since I had to take the L. Just been running hot. And buddy, I got the goddamn blade this weekend. I'm such a goddamn idiot. Like, what have I done?
You are an idiot.
Yeah. Like, obviously I felt bad for you with the cup stuff, but like that lineup you put out, when I saw what you, I just was like, why? What are you thinking? Like, there's like two lineups to play this week and you're doing that.
You know, what's really painful is when Davis goddamn Maddock puts out like the professional lineup and it's just rock solid top to bottom. I'm used to Davis being the idiot, you know, and when I have to wear the L, I have to put the dunce cap on and then sit here and do this goddamn podcast, wake up early in the morning because Davis has been on the beach watching Red Zone. It's just like, man, why am I doing this? I hate this.
It is a less fun show when Davis actually like gets his shit together.
Yeah. Well, Davis didn't even have to swap. I mean, that's how good you played yesterday, Davis. You didn't even have to swap.
Well, the people are getting sick of it. Cause this is either the fifth or sixth week in a row that I've won. And the people don't like that. The people do not. I know for a fact what the people want is they want to tune in for you two chuckleheads winning. And then me doing what Sammy did, which is making an emotional play of just like not wanting to play some guy that everyone else is playing and then having to eat it. Which actually turned out to be the right thing yesterday, because the optimizers don't know that Hollywood Brown is stone ass. So every week at like 5,200, all the oppos are like, oh yeah, you just got to get Hollywood Brown's 13.6 DraftKings points in there. And then you're just like, dude, Hollywood Brown is not ever getting 13.6 DraftKings points ever again. It's never happening. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he will. I think we're now in the range where the oppos are going to stop we're at two games with Kyler now. Like, and I think he's got five targets combined in these two games.
I thought he was hurt. I wasn't watching games yesterday. I had to help a buddy move, which, you know, at this stage in life is just like an egregious misstep of fortune. But
yeah, you're like 30, you're like 47 years old, man. What are you doing helping someone move?
Dude, my back hurts today. I mean, it's just like so brutal. But, you know, I'm just checking my phone and Hollywood Brown has two targets into the fourth quarter. I'm like, oh, he got hurt. You know, oh, he's dust. And then he got a target like with 5 minutes left. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like Hollywood's playing, like Greg Dortch was eating his lunch.
Yeah, we all should have played Dortch instead of Rondell. So these were the scores.
I mean, yeah, Hollywood's legit got like an average of, I think it's like 6 or 7 expected DraftKings points over the past 4 weeks. Like he's just not getting the volume.
Yeah, yeah, he stinks. All right, these were the scores. Davis Maddox, 182.76. This was a huge train team. Actually ended up being outscored by the other huge train team. The 2v2 was Kyler Murray and the Dolphins defense versus Brock Purdy and the Commanders defense. Purdy had the second best game of his career. The Commanders registered 9 sacks. 9 sacks and a loss to the New York Football Giants. Nate played the donkey playing scared version of that team. He played Aaron Jones. He played Aaron Jones instead of Tony Pollard because he is mentally weak. And Sammy, just an all-time performance from one Mr. Samuel Reed here, 138.32 points. So the big train team was Kyler Murray at quarterback, Brian Robinson, Devin Singletary, and Tony Pollard as the three running backs, Tyreek Hill, Tank Dell, Rondell Moore is the wide receivers, Trey McBride at tight end, and the Dolphins defense. Nate, I guess, how did you get the Commanders defense? And oh, because Jones was cheaper.
Yeah, because Jones was cheaper than Pollard. Jones was not a 1v1 with Pollard, but I obviously like Jones got hurt, which sucks. But I Jones' workload over the past couple weeks has actually been really, really strong. And it, even though Jones has sucked, his workload is like top three in the game right now.
So is first of all, that's not true.
And if
that doesn't seem accurate, Nate. I'm gonna call bullshit on this.
It is. Over the past 2 weeks, he's gotten like 43 touches. Let me pull it up.
He got 6 targets in each of the games versus Pittsburgh and the Rams. He got 20 carries versus the Rams. He got 13 carries in the loss to Pittsburgh.
That sounds pretty Pollard-ish to me.
Well, it's not.
Aaron Jones was just Tony Pollard with a way worse team total.
Over the past 2 weeks, here are the top 4 running backs in DraftKings expected points.
Nate,
Austin Eckler, Rashad White, Josh Jacobs, and Aaron Jones.
Take the L, Nate.
Nate, admit you played scared, dude.
Tony Pollard has not gotten the volume. Tony Pollard has not gotten the volume.
100% he has gotten the volume. They just have been up by too many points in these games. His volume was rock solid in any game where the scoreline was close. He just has been horrible efficiency.
No, that's not true. You're not looking at like his expected points. He's not getting the volume.
I love how Nate's like, oh, well, we got to look at his historical stuff, you know, this and that. Now he's like, oh, Aaron Jones over the last 2 weeks, you know, amazing workload, like so sticky.
Okay, because honestly, Pollard, like volume actually is one of those things that is more sensitive to the last few weeks because volume can change more on a dime. Efficiency is something that regresses over time. Volume is not one of those things. When you start to see a shift in workload, like Dowdle's getting worked in and they're not running the ball in the red zone that the way that you would have expected, Tony Pollard is not who people think they are. Tony Pollard over the last couple of weeks is getting like 13 to 14 expected DraftKings points per game. Here's the last 4 weeks for Tony Pollard, 13.2, 12.6, 13.7, and 8.1. That's expected DraftKings points per game. The Dallas Cowboys have made a shift in their offense, which is just to be more pass heavy. And that's no matter the score. It's not a thing of like, oh, we're expecting this regression and Tony Pollard is actually a 20 expected point workload guy. He's not. So,
guarantee you in your stuff, Tony Pollard has more expected points per game than Aaron Jones. Guarantee. Literally.
Okay, well, Aaron Jones 100%. Has been hurt for 4 or 5 weeks out of this year. So
I said per game. Not total, per game. I guarantee he's got more expected points per game.
Not over the last 4 weeks.
I know for a fact you were playing scared because you were going to play Pollard when we thought
when Dowdle was going to be out. When Dowdle was going to be out, yes, I was going to play Pollard. But with Dowdle being in, Pollard is not this volume monster that we think he is. Yesterday, he ran hot by getting that touchdown. He only got 12 carries. This wasn't a smash game. I don't understand why you're acting like this Pollard volume was like bound to regress. He didn't get 25 touches. This is
a high. He got five targets, Nate.
Pollard was a better play than Aaron Jones. I'm not saying Pollard was like the greatest play of all time. Obviously, I didn't feel that good about clicking him in.
He was also $1,000 more.
He was $400 more. He was 6,600.
Yeah, 66 to 62. And I want to sit here and tell Nate, like, I didn't play Pollard either. I didn't want to play Pollard. So
yeah,
I get it. I get it.
Bitch. You were a scared little bitch.
If the volume was there for Pollard, I would have played him. I am not the type of person who's worried about historical inefficiency that I know is going to regress. I did not play Pollard because of his efficiency. I didn't play Pollard because the volume is not there.
Well, you should have read the tea leaves. The whole team all week was talking about getting Tellner. Like CeeDee Lamb in his interview was like, we got to get TP going. Mike McCarthy at his press conference, they asked him about Rico Dowdle. And he's like, I'm happy with the touch distribution the way that it is. And even just Dowdle coming in with the ankle injury. I didn't realize this until the game started. But I think the only reason they let Dowdle play at all was because he's from one of the Carolinas and went to school there. They made him the offensive captain of the day. I think if this had been a home game, I think Dowdle would have just not played.
Lucky us, because I would have played Pollard if Dowdle wasn't playing. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
was a game where Pollard had to go to a 1.4 DraftKings points over expected. This is only his second game of the year that he exceeded his expectation.
Because he scored a touchdown.
Fine. Yeah. But it wasn't because of the volume. He only had a 0.2 expected touchdowns based on where he was getting workload. This wasn't a volume smash game for Pollard.
Yeah, because Tony Pollard had his long run of the season of 22 yards.
So Davis, incredible. Like, it worked out, but don't act like Pollard over Jones is like a very clear volume based. Like, no, it worked out.
Aaron Jones just sucks is the thing.
Yeah, like, Aaron
yes,
Jones
he does.
Suck.
He does, but even
the beta man, like, I don't know, you can't play.
It doesn't matter. He gets targets.
AJ Dillon is. I know we all want AJ Dillon to happen, but like AJ Dillon is still more involved in the Packers offense than Rico Dowdle is involved in the Cowboys offense.
True, but at the same point, I mean, Aaron Jones had 20 and 13 carries the past 2 weeks with like 6 or 7 targets each.
And
but you know they were playing the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers defense, man, like. Bad matchup. Not great.
Yeah, it's also a terrible matchup. And the Panthers are this awful defense, and they were behind the whole game.
Yeah, game script.
Nate, it's not going to be the end of the world if you just say you were playing scared. Just say you played scared,
but I didn't. I didn't play scared. I was going to play Pollard if Dowdle was out. As soon as you texted, like, Dowdle, and I was like, oh, frick, then I got to play Pollard. But I wasn't going to, like, I'll play a volume-based play.
Oh, incredible.
Mike Davis.
Incredible.
I'll go back to 2021 and play Mike Davis.
Oh my God, Mike Davis. I'd forgotten about you continually jamming in Mike Davis's 3.8 points on 20 touches every single week.
That was the heyday. I mean, this is great, Nate. The people are excited that the streak has been extended of Nate not taking an L. I think we're at 3 years and 4 months. This is an all-timer. You just keep it going.
Yeah, there's no regression coming there.
Well, speaking of L's, Sammy,
let's look at this lineup.
You looked at the Stone Nuts team with all the best plays, and you said, you know what? I can't do it because I hate Tony Pollard that much. So you played Brock Purdy. Fine. No issue with that. I mean, I think the Purdy people got a little bit lucky because I thought Kyler was a better play. But again, no real issue with that.
You got to look at the projections, man.
You did play Devin Singletary, who was a lock. You did play Tank Dell, who was a lock. You did play Rondale. You did play Rondale, who was a lock, but ended up, I didn't realize this, and it should have been obvious in hindsight, but with Dortch out there, actually Dortch is like the way better short area receiver than Rondale. Rondale actually a better play with Michael Wilson in the lineup, honestly. It doesn't matter. He sucked out and got a 50-yard touchdown, his only catch of the day. Trey McBride, who was a lock. Brian Robinson, who was like beyond a lock. And what you really did, that was So you said Tyreek Hill, not for me. You said Tony Pollard, not for me. Dolphins defense, not for me. You played Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp, and the New York Jets football defense instead of Tony Pollard, Tyreek Hill, and one of those $3,000 defenses. I got to be honest, I looked at this for a second, and I was like, it kind of makes sense. Like, I get it. But at the end of the day, you're giving up. I mean, I think you gave up like 4 or 5 points.
You had to give up like 6 points of projection here.
It was 3 and change in projection.
That's too much, man. That is just, I think my kind of rule is like, if my lineup is within like 2 points-ish off the median, then like I can probably defend it on the show when we do it later that night. But when you're getting into like 3, 4, 5 points off the optimal, you're on like the third page of the 150 set when you're giving up that many points.
I mean, I literally finished what, 44 points behind you. I mean, I only deserve to finish 3 points behind you. This is running bad.
Yeah, this is running bad. I mean, I will say this is not a
this
great
is lineup, running but, very
but the
bad.
But the run out, I mean, the chalk hit in a way that was like Rondale Moore literally got one target and it was like a 40-yard bomb. Rondale Moore was not a great play that just happened to be like he happened to smash. Dortch, honestly, Davis actually just had a sharp take that I think people are gonna blow by.
Yeah.
Dortch should have actually considered we should have considered Dortch more than we considered Rondale.
I didn't realize Zach Pascal was out as well. I just, you know, whatever. I'm on the fucking beach setting lineups. Like, I would have legit played Greg Dortch had I realized that Pascal was also not playing.
I would have roasted you for that in the moment, but in like a no ball take, that would have actually been sharp.
That would have been the ultimate I know ball take. It would have been so goddamn sharp. I mean, holy shit. Yeah, like Greg Dortch is frankly a goat. But let's go back to my lineup because I don't deserve to wriggle out of this. You know, I didn't want to play Hollywood Brown. That was not on the table. That was a situation where, you know, IKB.
Yeah, you do know ball if you didn't play Hollywood Brown.
Obviously. And I mean, Jesus, can you imagine playing Hollywood Brown with Rondale Moore and Trey McBride? I mean, just going like
God,
full. Yeah, I mean, that would have been an all-time.
I honestly thought you could play 4 Cardinals, really.
Like, I almost did.
You can, but the challenge is it's so structurally fragile that like if they don't smash, and they really didn't, you know, they scored like 16 points. If they don't go off, you're just stone dead.
And the biggest risk with that team was that to play that team, you had to fade Tank.
Yeah, I mean, Tank.
Yeah, and the other problem with that, and let's kind of spell it out, is like if you play Kyler with those guys, you're actually like hoping for not a Kyler rushing touchdown because, you know, you get more when he throws to the pass catchers, and then you're like kind of bleeding out the value of Kyler's rushing. It's just not great. I wasn't going to do it. And then I really didn't want to play Tony fucking Pollard. I was just like, I'm tired of this guy. He douches us every week. You know, I'm going to go against the projections. I knew that he was a solid points per dollar play, but you guys are telling me I'm a phone shitter, bro. Like, the obviously it wasn't optimal, but both Eckler and Kupp were really good values. Like they were.
Well, and the optimals, to be fair to you, the actual top optimals were dog shit because they were over projecting Evan Engram with Zay Jones back. Evan Engram was in a lot of the optimals, and so was Hollywood Brown. And the optimal, like the projections are just not caught. Like, one, they're still projecting Hollywood Brown like he had this role he had the first month of the season, which is not true. And like the Evan Engram optimals were just not playable. You just could not play that team. I think if you showed up with the Evan Engram, Trey McBride team, you were like, I think you just played really bad.
I'm not going to go that far.
Nate loves Evan Engram.
Evan Engram actually has a better. Yeah, this Evan Engram thing in the red zone is just noise to me. There's no reason structurally for that stuff to make sense. Evan Engram should be a target in the red zone, should be converting these things into into scores. And as soon as he does, I mean, his DraftKings points are going to go through the roof. He's averaging well over 10 to 12 expected DraftKings points per game consistently.
Not with Zay Jones back in. The Zay Jones thing is huge.
He literally has never averaged less than 10 points a game or expected DraftKings points in a game since week one. He's one of the more consistent
targeters. Zay Jones has been out since halftime. He came back against the Bills in the London game and then got hurt again.
Yes, but he's one of the most consistent target earners in the league. And at the tight end position, like, I get that tight end is more fragile of an overall, like, more volatile of a projection, but Engram is, like, used differently than most tight ends. He's basically a wide receiver on that team.
Evan Engram is 29 years old. He's got 20 NFL touchdowns. He had the one mega explosion game last year that accounted for 40% of his points. If I get done in by that game, whatever, I get done in by that game. But as the clear fourth target on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm not. And you had to sacrifice playing a running back. You had to sacrifice playing a really good
running
back.
That's why it was a mistake. It was a mistake because of the four. I thought there was so many running backs that were in play this week that I thought it was a mistake. But it's not like you can't play two tight ends in cash because of this.
It has nothing to do with him being a tight end. If you put him at a wide receiver, I still think it's bad.
You guys want to talk about me playing Eckler and Kupp some more? Yeah. Or do you want to argue about Evan Engram's expected points over the last four years?
So really with the Kupp thing, I mean, I would just say, like, I get the logic of being like, you know, Cooper Kupp is great. He's awesome all the time. He dropped the long touchdown. He could have, you know, whatever. But it's just like, when it's easy to play Tyreek Hill, who is like the number one player in fantasy this year and is like unbelievable and just gets a bazillion points all the time. I get the Eckler thing too. Like, everyone on the Chargers is banged up. Keenan Allen's arm is like hanging off. Like, he's the guy from Monty Python who's saying it's just a flesh wound. Jalen Guyton didn't play. Gerald Everett didn't play. Quentin Johnson's terrible. I actually... You guys will appreciate this. I used Eckler over four receptions in like every slip that I did yesterday on Underdog. And so
why wouldn't he get more than four receptions?
Yeah. So Sammy, it's not that I don't get it. Like, I look at the decision you made. Jets defense, Cooper Kupp, Austin Eckler versus Tony Pollard, Tyreek Hill, and the Dolphins defense. I get it. I don't think it's the dumbest thing anyone on the history of this program has ever done.
In cash, though, it's just not necessary. There is so much optimal play these days in cash games that, like, I know Davis was ripping you for 3 points off optimal, and it sounds like, oh, whatever. But, like, these days in cash games on DraftKings.com, like, I think 3 points off optimal is a mistake because you're like, going to get jammed in by these people so much. Like, when I flipped over and saw these percentages, I mean, everybody is, like, above 50% owned.
Here's the other problem. Here's the other problem. I didn't want to play Tony Pollard because he's dusty. And the big problem is that Cooper Kupp and Austin Eckler are actually dusty themselves. Like, 2021, buddy, this team is finishing first in the $50 double up. But the reality is Cooper Kupp hasn't had a good game since like the second game he came back. Obviously, yeah. Stafford was out for a little bit of that, but like, I was just like, dude, they're coming off the bye. Stafford's healthy. Like, this is, you know, I mean, I thought Kupp was too cheap. He was 8,100. And I was like, dude, this is a guy who's regularly like 9K. And he's just a complete smash. And he was not. I thought what the other iteration I was thinking of is doing McCaffrey and Nakua. Because Nakua's target share has been.
I didn't want to drop this on you.
But Nakua was the one who's underpriced. Nakua's workload here.
I know. That's the guy. If I want to be really honest, that was the mentally weak part of me. Because I think McCaffrey's like definitely better than Eckler. I mean, that's pretty clear. And I really wanted McCaffrey. But then I was like, you know what? Eckler's like almost as good. And I just didn't want to get that Nakua like 3 for 43 game while Kupp gets 11 for 121 and one. I was like, yo. But that was what I thought of doing because I really wanted McCaffrey and him.
Yeah, it's bizarre because like typically we think of Cooper Kupp as this like the super high floor and then Nakua would be like the ceiling type guy. But Nakua would actually be the one that I would say has like the higher floor that you play more in cash games, and Kupp is the guy that you play for that ceiling that only a few guys have.
Yeah. So, I mean, but obviously I ran real bad because Cup got hurt really early on. And I think I finished 17 points below the cash line. And Cup could have easily gotten that. I mean, he's projected for more than that. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't play great, a little mentally weak, but I also like ran bad because, you know, if Cup is healthy in that game where they're trailing the entire time, you know, I probably get there. So,
and the chalk hit, it's 90 percentile outcome. I mean,
right.
I mean, what's funny is if you just played the most owned guy at every position, I think that actually was the 186 point.
It's the 186, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like if literally all the chalk, all the top owned guys smash, you were just fighting an uphill battle. And it was funny. There was my entire team was 1 p.m. So I didn't even have a chance to think about any late swaps this week. All right. So for the final accounting, this was the team. This was the team that I played: Kyler Murray, Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary, Brian Robinson, Tank Dell, Tyreek Hill, Rondale Moore, Trey McBride, and the Dolphins defense. There was the Purdy Commanders team off that. I thought the cash game locks were one of Kyler or Purdy, Brian Robinson, Devin Singletary, or Stone Cold Box. Don't think you could get off them. Dell was 100% locked to me. Rondale was 100% locked to me. And McBride was 100% locked to me. So that left one wide receiver spot, a flex spot, and a defense spot as sort of your permutation to dick around. I really thought that was pretty much the right way to play.
And then I went Jones Commanders over your Pollard Dolphins.
Yeah. All right, this was the team I played in the SPY. I played 100% Justin Fields this week. Normally, I don't go all in on a quarterback, but I was just convinced that this was like the nut spot. I guess what even ended up winning tournament yesterday? I guess you needed to have Ridley. You probably needed to have Lawrence. Let's see, what won the big spot? Jordan Love, Brian Robinson, Devin Singletary, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, Jaden Reed, Trey McBride, Tank Dell, the Cowboys defense. So basically the cash team won. Basically the cash team just won all tournaments.
With Jordan Love.
The chalk was. Yeah, that's how good the chalk was. So this was the team I played in the big spy. I did Fields and Moore. I played Devin Achane and Jahmyr Gibbs as my running back on every single team. The Gibbs thing felt very good when the cards turned over and he was only 8%. I was like, I don't know, shit. In a different universe, I might have played Gibbs in cash. Like if he was a little bit cheaper or Pollard was a little bit more expensive, I might have played Gibbs in cash. Achane, I mean, I don't know. I was playing him at 14, 15% bad. Like, you know, it's really one of those things where like whatever take you had before the game, you probably still held it. Like if you were an Achane fader, you're like, I can't believe people played this fucking loser. 15% owned, he got hurt on the third play. Like, obviously he got hurt, he's made out of glass. And then if you were someone like me, you were like, oh, well, he literally started the game. He got a touch on their first two plays of the game. And then just bad luck, a defensive lineman landed on his injured knee. And, you know, whatever. I think given his range of outcomes as a player, 15% pretty good. Like, we're talking about a guy with 50 points in his second career game, 30 points, 20 points in the other games that he started. Like, this is a guy with Mostert had a huge game. Ahmed scored. Like, there are just a lot of running back points to have there. I don't know. Maybe that's Cope. Maybe it's Cope. I don't know. But I that is what I did. The rest of this team, Amon-Ra St. Brown as the bring back. I did the double bring back with the single stack, which I think with Fields in particular, because you want so much of his production to come from the rushing, I think is fine. Played Quentin Johnston on this team.
No, buddy. You almost got an 80-yard touchdown.
I think I got to be done. I mean, Guyton out. Like, Alex Erickson played 90% of the snaps for the Chargers in this game. Like, if there was ever going to be a time for QJ to do it, this was the time.
QJ has the yips, bro. Like, yeah, it's yeah, that's does. Something the Optimals cannot understand. He's got the yips. Like, he's dust. He's got to get a sports psychologist to come back, I think.
Robert Woods at 5%. I thought Robert Woods was like my Giga Sharp play of the day. Like, what's the difference between Robert Woods and Noah Brown? Like, there's not a difference between Robert Woods and Noah Brown. And
I think there is actually.
I think there's probably like almost two decades between them.
Yeah. Davis is this is so anti-Davis. He is like the dustiest ass out there.
That's how much I believe in CJ Stroud. That's how much I believe. I think CJ Stroud could just make anyone good. I mean, he had seven targets, like whatever. He could have. I mean, I guess the thing is that Nate faded Tank Dell's 17 targets last week, so I should have just – we really should have given Nate a fucking harder time about that, by the way, just, like, thinking back on it. Like, Nate just fading this dude who was just breaking fantasy football, and he's like, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay. I did play a 50% on Trey McBride on this team. Given that I played a bunch of single-digit owned guys, I don't know, whatever. I think it's fine. I just think McBride was, like – he was the best.
He's just too good. He's just too good.
Yeah, he was the best tight end by a mile. And I played the Rams defense at 2% owned on this team just because they fit, like, whatever. This team did not cash. But I, looking back on it, I'm happy with the field more decision on all my teams and happy to focus on that game. I believe it was the highest scoring game of the slate. I'm fine with those decisions. I just am not having a good tournament year. Weirdly, I'm having like the best cash year ever, I think. But now I'm just giving it all back in tournaments because I'm just rolling out this dog shit with Quentin Johnson and Devin Achane every week.
Yeah, it's Jover for Quentin Johnson.
Can they just make Quentin Johnson like 4,900 so I don't have to think about it? It's just that he fit. You know.
Well,
the thing
is that he has to produce. He has to produce something for his price to go up. So it's kind of this paradox where that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's true. All right, Sammy, what do you got for us?
All right. I kind of went pretty chalky here in the spy. I played a Brock Purdy to Brandon Ayuk stack, bringing it back with Mike Evans. And that all did pretty good. Purdy and Ayuk smashed on the heels of like a 72-yard touchdown pass. That was great. Evans was kind of whatever, but he caught a 1-yard touchdown, so super. At running back, I did play Tony Pollard because I was like, well, you know, I don't want to full fade Tony Pollard because he could smash. So I played
what
Pollard.
What was he owned? I didn't play him in any tournaments. What was he owned?
Oh, great question. Let me click on the actual
I'm gonna guess it was like actually like way more owned than you thought, like 19 or 25% or something. Like that's,
yeah, that's right.
What's happening. Oh.
Yeah, Pollard was 24%. Brian Robinson was 37%. Evans
Ooh,
was
24%. That can't feel good. If you're playing Pollard, you're hoping he's got to be single, like, or low team.
That makes
right?
me feel better. That makes me feel better about A-Chain, actually.
Yeah, 24% Tony Pollard when you're hoping, like, oh, that had to hurt.
Tough scene. I played at receiver, obviously, Evans and Ayuk. I also had DJ Moore in this lineup. DJ Moore was a great play. 4 yards short of the bonus. Hate to see that. And I played Christian Kirk at pretty much a direct pivot off Tank Dell, taking the L there. It was Calvin Ridley week, RIP to me. At tight end, I played my favorite tournament tight end, which was Big Dick Donald Parham.
Yeah, I played a bunch of him too.
Yeah, and then I went really alpha and played the Raiders defense against the fraudulent Miami Dolphins. They did score 8 points at 0.7% owned. This team
What's
did
the
cash.
Thesis behind that play? That's a.
They were the defense.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce, baby. You gotta get your feet.
Yeah, you gotta work in your Raiders defense against the Dolphins. You know, basically as much as possible. I like the general sort of thesis behind that team. I mean, I do think the Purdy. The Purdy, like, do you single stack Purdy or do you double stack Purdy? I kind of ultimately landed on you single stack him, but clearly after the results yesterday, it was like, no, you stack him with everyone on the team.
Well, I had another tournament team in the red zone where it was Purdy, McCaffrey, and Ayuk, bringing it back with Rashad White, and that team I'll cash the red zone. So
yeah,
play two tournaments for me and. You know, they both cash, so it helped take a little bit of the edge off my cup gal brain giant L.
Yeah. All right. the thing that people wait for every week. Nate showed up with the Dorian Thompson Robinson, Amari Cooper, George Pickens bring back. I'm imagining that is what I really hope that we have someone from Cleveland, Pittsburgh featured in this lineup, Nate.
No, sadly nobody from Cleveland, Pittsburgh. But I did a Sam Howell onslaught. So I felt really good about the passing volume there. Went Sam Howell, Brian Robinson Jr., Terry McLaurin, and Logan Thomas with Commanders D. And then my
what the fuck?
Wait for it. And then
you only get nine spots on your team. You use five of them on Commanders.
Yes, I like doing these onslaughts in these tournaments. Anyway,
no, but with the defense, with the they're no, Nate. With the with defense, the deep, this
Nate,
is the worst
it's not
thing
showdown,
I've
Nate.
Okay, the Commanders in this spot versus DeVito. I thought,
but if they get a defensive touchdown, that wipes out potential points from four of your guys. Nate, this is the worst team I've ever heard.
Nate, okay, wait, it gets worse.
No, it doesn't.
So then I'm trying to figure out, do I do a bring back? Do I not?
Yes, and if you're playing five guys, you have to do a bring back.
So you have to do a bring back, and I'm not playing Rondale Moore. And so what's the pivot? What's the pivot at that price point? Because I didn't want to play any Rondale
Jalen
Moore.
Jalen Hyatt.
Oh my god.
This is mate.
What was the product owned on this team? Like it was
18%.
So I did a Jalen Hyatt bring back, which 0.2% ownership. That's always great. This team did not cash. And then I brought it back. What did I finish it out with? McCaffrey, Cup, McBride. Yeah, it was a bad team. I did not play well
Nate,
in tournaments this week.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say if your process includes playing a quarterback, a running back, and two pass catchers, and you're also jamming in the defense, your process needs a little bit of a tweak. I actually think if you would have done Howell, Robinson, and McLaurin, I would have been like, you know what? I like that.
And Logan Thomas. Okay. All right.
No,
I'm vibing.
Probably not Logan Thomas for me because it's just like, what, you want Sam Howell to throw for four touchdowns? Like, and Brian Robinson scores a rushing touchdown? Like, I think that is.
When you look at the passing volume that Sam Howell has, he can support this many. He can support this many, period. Like, I don't feel bad about the amount of Redskins or the amount of Commanders at all.
You added the defense on top of it.
You added the defense
because the sack projection was so high here. Like,
and then had a Giants bring back on top of it, which is incredible. And
yeah, the thing I feel bad about was the Jalen Hyatt thing.
You should feel bad about almost all of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like Nate, if you plug this into a sim, it'd be like -99% ROI.
No, it wouldn't.
The sim would just send it back with an error 403.
I don't think you are properly understanding how much passing volume Sam Howell can sustain. Like,
but they didn't even project to have that much passing volume here. They were 8.5-point favorites.
Well, that's why you played the defense.
I guess you just played. Oh my god.
The defense was 3,600 too, Nate. You made a big decision to jam in the defense at like a higher price on top of all this.
The Commanders defense in and of itself, they were a really good play. Like their sack projection was insane. I got no issue there. It's the combination of the quarterback double sack with like you were just needing that game to go in a way that like no NFL game has ever gone. Like it's a guy team scores four offensive touchdowns and the defense gets a defensive touchdown and they get
Sam
like
Howell had 45 pass attempts here. I don't understand. Like,
yeah. The other thing you got to understand, Davis, is maybe there's an onside kick at the end that Brian Robinson returns for a touchdown.
Have you thought about it, dude? He had 45 pass attempts here. And that was like, within a projectable range of outcomes. Like that isn't a.
Yeah. He leads the NFL.
He leads the NFL in volume. So like, I don't understand why you're acting like he can't sustain these 3K, like Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, like the volume is there for those four to all hit.
This is all true. This is all true.
And then the defense is in the highest sack projection game possible. Like
Yeah, but Nate, this is like two different tournament lineups that you somehow forged into one.
Amalgamated in one.
Yeah. it's like the fly. This is a bastardization.
You're just needing way too much in one spot. Like you're needing them to score like 40 points on offense and to run a bunch of plays, but like also the defense camp needs to be on the field.
Howell needs to throw three touchdowns. The other team also has a lot of passing volume as well. It inflates both. Like, that's the way that game flow works. If Sam Howell has 45 passing attempts, his defense is going to be facing a lot of passes too. Like,
this was a full slate, man. This is a showdown.
Yeah, this is an 11 game slate. Yeah.
I want to hear from the listeners on this one. I think you two are wrong.
I guarantee you the listeners are not going to be like, you know what team was good? The five Washington with the Jalen Hyatt bring back. I don't think the listeners are going
to
be.
We need to get some sim brain in here telling us because
I can run this through a sim and it's going to
post it on Twitter afterwards for the listeners.
Nate, are you being genuine or is this a bit where you won't?
I'm dead serious. I don't think Sam Howell onslaughts are bad, especially in this slate. And then the defense versus Danny DeVito with that much sack projection? No.
Yeah.
All right,
let's get out of here. I gotta go get on my fucking airplane and shit. Everyone, thank you for listening. Look out for Rob Coakley's remix of this where all of my audio is removed and it's just Sammy talking about his dog shit and then Nate talking about his dog shit. Really, it would be an intriguing experience. This week with just these guys being like, yeah, we played bad, but you know,
nice 8-minute podcast. It would be great.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We will, in terms of like what's happening this week with Thanksgiving and everything, we're really playing it by ear here on this feed. So all the usual stuff will be there. I just don't know exactly when, all of it will be coming out. See you guys later.